and revelation from the Word of God to be the type of disciple that Christ has destined you to be. Listen closely, open your heart, and be blessed.
And hearing by the Word of God. So the more I hear the Word of God on a subject and my heart is open to that subject, how many know I become blessed? I'm going to say it again. The more I hear the Word of God on a subject and I open my heart to that subject, I become blessed. Amen. So when we know that faith comes by hearing and the hearing by the Word of God, I have to be open to what God is saying. Amen. Tell somebody you have to be open, have to be open. Have to be open. Amen. We can hear the message of salvation time and time again. But if we're open, how many know you can hear something new on that same message? Open to what God is saying. Amen. I have already begun to experience the blessing of God from this teaching. Amen. And I believe we're going to continue to be blessed. So we're dealing again with becoming kingdom-minded, understanding kingdom economics. In Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7, ushers, thank you so much this morning. Galatians chapter 6, starting at verse number 7, and it reads from the King James Version, be not deceived. Everybody say, don't be deceived. Don't be tricked. God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I want us to think this morning, what are we sowing? What are we sowing? Because the scripture says, whatsoever we soweth, that shall we also reap. So that has to do with everything in life, not just finances, but everything. Are we sowing kindness? We'll reap kindness. Are we sowing faithfulness? We'll reap faithfulness. Whatever it is that we sow, we shall reap, including finances. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 12. Let's look there. And we've already dealt with putting God first in these seven principles. Those that write, we started with putting God and his ways first. Secondly, we dealt with maximizing your drive with the scriptures connected to that. Then we'll start today with sowing seeds that create abundance. If you're writing, I'm going to go ahead and give these seven to you again. Number one, put God in his ways first. Number two, maximize your drive. Number three, sowing seeds that create abundance. Number four, make saving a priority. Number five, understanding seasons. Number six, stay out of debt. And lastly, riches are uncertain. And if I have time today, I may add two more points that I believe the Spirit of God has given me, or we may push that to next Sunday. But we're looking here this morning, number one, sowing seeds that create abundance, and we're in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 12. From the New International Version, the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth. He says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap how? In other words, if I sow a little, I'll reap a little. Anybody ever listened to or watched a faucet drip just a little bit of water? As that faucet is dripping that water, every drop begins to add up. And if you catch that little drop of water, eventually you can fill up a whole bowl with just little drops. I would encourage you this morning to begin to allow giving to be like a drop. I may not be able to give a whole cup of water every day, but if I just begin to just drop a little every now and then, maybe a need comes up or a situation comes up I can help in, I just give a little. But I want you to know that every time you give a little, it's not so much in the amount you're giving, it's that in your giving, you become a giver. And once you become a giver, the rest of this text says God will give seed to a sower. So as long as we are sowing, the Bible already said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he shall also what? Many times our harvest is not there because we're not sowing. And if we sow, it's not the same thing as sowing. Let me help you. If I sow a seed or if I give financially every now and then, that's not the same thing as me being a sower. Because a sower is one that every time they get an opportunity, every time God prompts them, they're going to give something. They become what's known as a distribution center. In other words, I am the place, if something's going on, you can at least call me. I may not give you everything you ask for, but I'm going to give you at least something. Why? Because I have the revelation of being a sower. And as long as you are a sower, you can't help but also reap. A lot of times in our lives, our finances, our love, even forgiveness towards us is dammed up. And I don't mean that in the cursing term. I mean that in a system where, you know, you have a dam that blocks water. And anytime water is trying to get out, but it cannot get out, it begins to build up. That's similar to our aggression. It's similar to doubt and unbelief. Many times we can say, it's not happening. This situation is not changing for me. That's because it's dammed up, because we haven't been sowing the harvest we need. Tell somebody, you must sow. Financially, there has to be a continuous flow. That's why they call it income. There has to be something coming in, because you have to begin to release something out. Amen. So we look here, Paul is saying in verse number 6, remember this. He says, this is important. I want you to remember it. Whoever sows a little or sows sparingly will also reap in the same manner. But whoever sows generously, everybody say, Lord, if you mean this, say, help me to become a generous giver. Now, I'm going to try my best to cover at least three of these principles, but when you're talking about being a generous giver, you start getting the mindset, if I'm going out to a meal, God, help me to be the one to pay the meal. God, if I'm going to a place, amen, and maybe somebody, they have less than me, help me to be the one to be able to meet that need. Amen. Now, in my meeting these needs and I'm sowing these seeds, don't you understand that eventually that has to come back to me? Why? Because he said in Galatians 6 and 7, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he's going to reap. So we can't focus on it leaving us. We got to focus on it being a seed that's going to come back. How? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. We were teaching in Alexandria on Thursday, and I told him this is the key that God has shown me. Before the thought of a loss comes, release it quick. Because if we hold on to finances, the first thought is, man, when I give this, I'm losing it. But if you just give it, here you go, it's gone. You've already sowed a seed, and the harvest is soon to follow. But if you're thinking about loss every time you give, you have what's known as a loss or a poverty mentality. What you're saying is, there is not enough. I really don't trust God to bless me. It's the same thing with tithes. Some people, when I get to this last principle on putting no trust in uncertain riches, there's times we can save, because saving is a principle, and we get so much money to where now the money becomes the God. If I save, and I know I've been saving, I got $20,000, I got $30,000 in the bank, after a while, that start looking good. You start saying, man, I got all this money. I got to watch over this money. But understand, the intellect, the strength, the job, however you got it, God bless you to have it. Continue to be a distribution center. Don't stop because you have some money now. Always continue to be a sower, because if you stop sowing, there's no harvest coming. Eventually, that $30,000, because riches are uncertain, will leave us. And life will prove that. I've known people that get money. You know, I've been there, got money, and, you know, planned it out. Say $5,000 came, it was gone within 2 weeks. Because just because you have money today does not mean you'll have money tomorrow. Watch this, if you have not sown for it. But see, if you put seed in the ground, a harvest has to come. That's why it's always important to start off, God, I honor you with my tithe. Two things. Number one, it's teaching you discipline. See, the tithe is a discipline teacher. It teaches us that I must honor God with my finances. That's honor. And number two, it teaches me how to live off 90 but give God 10. We have to be careful. I think about the theory. Y'all have heard me say this before. When we look at the mindset of buffets in America, a buffet is fun. Let me tell you why a buffet is fun for somebody who likes to eat. Amen. Like myself. Now, I've had to discipline myself here lately in the last 6 months or so. But when you think buffet, you thinking all I can. Come on, y'all, talk to me. Everything is open to me. So when I get there, I can eat all I want for a certain amount of money. What that does is says, listen, if you don't want to, you don't have to discipline yourself. You can eat all you want. with the tithe, it teaches you, yeah, you can spend, but only 90%. Because you're going to honor God with the first 10, and then you're going to say, you know what? I have to make sure to give God this 10% first. It teaches discipline. And after a while, what you don't realize is you have been planting seed after seed after seed after seed, and that tithe is protecting you when rough times come. People who don't have that tithe in the ground, when rough times come, they begging. Then they go to man when they should have went to God first. And see, if you give it to God, you honor him with it. He say, listen, the tithe is not for me. How many know God don't need money? What is God going to do with money? The tithe is for us. It teaches us, one, to honor him, and two, it allows us to put seed in the ground, because he said, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you shall also reap. The tithe also gives us the ability to call on God when rough time comes. How do I know? He says, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour so much blessing out upon you, you won't have room enough to receive. He didn't stop there. We're in Malachi chapter 3 now. He says, I'll also rebuke the devourer for your sake. You have to know that Satan's job, John 10 and 10, is to kill, steal, and destroy. That's not just your money. Sometimes it's your health. Sometimes it's your job. Sometimes it's your peace. And he's out there trying to destroy. But God says, when you honor me with the tithe, which represents your heart, he says, what I'll do is I'll rebuke that devourer. He thought he was going to come attack you, but because you put me first where your heart is and your finances, I'll take care of him. Plus, you've been sowing seed in the ground. Understanding the power of the tithe. If I was to change this message, I'd say, if you're going to rob anybody, don't rob God. Because in robbing God, you really rob yourself. The Bible says the streets in heaven are paved with gold. What does God need with American currency? Nothing. It's for us to teach us how to worship him, to honor him, to have seed in the ground, and to have a promise that he'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. Normally when something happens in the Bible, and many times in our life as well, first thing we do, go to God. God, I'm sorry. We start thinking about what we've done wrong. God, I'm sorry. What if we go from God, I'm sorry, forgive me, to God, here's an offering? Don't you know in the Old Testament, they lived a life of offerings? They had grain offerings. They had animal sacrifices. They offered unto God. The first principle in kingdom economics is to understand the power of the seed. Each one of us are seed. Mom and dad came together. Seed was planted in the egg, and it produced the harvest. Move on, just in case we hadn't had the conversation yet. But the harvest, my friend, is you. God is not mocked. Whatever we sow, we're going to reap. So my first thought when anything comes into my hand is, Lord, thank you. And like I said last Sunday, what will begin to happen is you'll enjoy writing those checks to God. See, right now in the beginning stage, you're like, what? That's loss. That makes no sense. You're right. In the beginning, it doesn't make sense. It takes faith. But once your faith grows, it goes from faith to making sense. It turns practical after you've done it long enough to where now, okay, God, I see how you work. I give you an example. Me and my wife, we went to see her family, see my family. But each time we went, whatever state we went to, I always made up my mind, I'm going to be a blessing. And I got a prayer next year that I'm going to be a bigger blessing. And when they see me walk in the house, there go that blessed man. I don't go in looking for what can you get me. I go and say, and some of my kinfolk got to fight them out. They won't take no money. No, no, no. I don't want that. Okay, no problem. So you just slide it somewhere and walk on out. Just to be and planted a seed in their life. You see, because see, they already know you represent God. But just because you represent God in righteousness doesn't mean you represent God in his abundance. God is multifaceted. He is holy. We ought to live holy. He is love. We should be people of love. But he's also a God of abundance. He has everything. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So to represent.
We want to talk to people tonight.
Thank you for joining us for the Discipleship Now radio broadcast. We pray that you have received revelation from God's word and inspiration from his spirit. If you have questions, comments, or would like to contact our ministry, please send your letters to P.O. Box